listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, Director of Lay Ministry Formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Sitting here all alone, except for my wonderful guests. Father Greg Sakowicz is celebrating a funeral this morning, so he won't be with us. But it's Monday in Chicagoland, 9 o'clock in the morning. You're listening to AM 950, and we're delighted that you're spending this time, this part of your day with us. We've just begun Holy Week. Yesterday, of course, was Palm Sunday, Passion Sunday, and we are approaching the Easter mysteries. So it's a good time to do that Easter duty that we learned about as children. You know, we have an obligation to confess our sins at least once a year, and if we're only going to do it once a year, it's supposed to be during Easter time. So it's a good time to renew and reconcile our relationships. Make that phone call and say you're sorry to whoever needs to hear that from you. Maybe somebody will call you and do the same. Before we begin, very important announcement to make here. Our producer, Jim Dish, is a brand new grandpa. Last night, his daughter gave birth to a little girl named Alyssa Marie. So congratulations to Grandpa Jim. He'll get used to hearing that before too long. This morning, we are going to tell you about something I'll bet you didn't know about. Most people don't know about. But the Archdiocese of Chicago runs a food service program. And it's called Food Service Professionals. We have in the studio three guests. Paula DeLuca, who is the COO. Oh, is that what people say when they see you coming? COO. The Chief Operating Officer. Maria Bernas, Nutrition Service Manager and Licensed Dietitian. If you have any questions about nutrition, you can give us a call at 312-255-8408. That's 312-255-8408. And finally, we have Leslie Williams, who is the marketing manager for FSP. So welcome to all of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Good morning.
All right. What in the world is FSP?
Well, FSP is an organization that was founded back in the early 70s with the intent of trying to bring quality service to the Catholic schools of the Archdiocese.
Quality service of what kind?
Food service.
Food service. Food service. So you feed our kids?
Absolutely.
Every day.
Mm-hmm.
How many of them?
Oh, gosh. We serve probably close to 100,000 meals a day.
Wow.
But not just to students. We also serve healthcare centers and high schools as well as elementary schools.
So are you in all of our elementary schools?
No, actually, we're in the majority of them. There are some schools that we do hope will come on board with our program, and hopefully after learning a little bit more about us today, they'll give some consideration to that.
So what are you up to, about 300 schools?
We serve approximately, I'd say about 200 within the Archdiocese, and then we also have schools that have come to us and asked us to serve them. Through word of mouth, they've heard about what we offer, and they see us as a good program of choice.
So you're working in some of the public schools as well as the Catholic schools?
Public schools, other schools of Christian faith, yes.
And what about the high schools?
We're also in some of our high schools within the Archdiocese. We also provide services to other public school systems at the high school level.
Leslie, you're the marketing manager. Mm-hmm. What's the spiel? How do you promote this program and get schools to sign up?
Well, I think the main thing you have to keep in mind is we're going for quality, and we're going to make that link between fine student performance and good nutrition. So that's one of the things that people want to keep in mind when they think about our service. We do have the capabilities to act as problem solvers, meaning if you have a school with very little space, We can look at your situation, see if there's the ability to serve meals within your school, and then make that happen. We also,
so you can tailor your program to the individual school.
Yes, customization is a big part of what we do. We do offer pre-plated meals, meaning in schools that have limited kitchen space, limited serving areas, we can go in, look at your space, try to figure out how we can bring equipment in and start your service. But we also do on-site meal preparation as well.
Let's talk about that for a second, because I can't quite visualize this. So school's got a big kitchen. They've got, you know, deluxe facilities. How do you partner with them?
If it's a school with deluxe facilities, it's pretty easy. What we can do is run a full-service cafeteria, a cafeteria that most people are accustomed to seeing, meaning we would order the food, we would prepare the food, we would serve the food. We would do every function that is a part of school meal service.
So the school doesn't really have to do anything.
It's a turnkey service. We try to fix it so that we take the burden off the schools. We're the experts in food service. They're the experts in education. We want to make sure that we partner together to provide a quality service to each individual school. But we also want to make sure that the educators can turn their attention back to what they do best. So it is a turnkey operation.
Maria, you're the nutrition expert. What's the role that nutrition plays in this whole equation?
Well, I think nutrition plays a huge role, obviously, in school food service. And so basically what my department does is develop the menus each month based on whatever menu the schools are on. So we have some that are cold lunches. We have some that are hot lunches. So we follow the federal guidelines and try to make a nice balanced meal that kids will enjoy as well.
There's been a lot in the news lately about nutrition and about shifting guidelines and about items being taken off of children's menus that had been there for years. Talk about that a little bit.
Sure. Yeah, I think it's important to continuously have this dialogue on how we can improve, school nutrition and just children's diets in general. So we're continuously, as an organization, trying to keep up on what the new federal guidelines are, the new recommendations, as you mentioned, like the Institute of Medicine came out with their new guidelines, and to try to really tailor our menus to fit those guidelines. And we actually, I think, do a pretty good job of trying to keep a little bit ahead of the curve and kind of see what's coming down and try to make those changes before they actually.
What are some of the no-nos that are getting yanked off the list?
We've done some pretty radical changes with our breakfast cereal offerings. We offer a lot of whole grain cereals now. We took a lot of items off the menus that, even though we did receive a little bit of grief from some people that liked sugar-coated cereals, we did elect to stand firm with our, focus on nutrition. So that was one thing that we had done.
So you're not serving donuts for breakfast?
No.
No, we've eliminated super donuts from our menus. Oh. So all of that's gone.
You actually do breakfast?
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
And we also do an after-school snack program as well.
Wow.
A lot of these programs are also available to the schools. Depending on their demographic, they can come to the students at no charge.
So this must be a pretty big operation to prepare 100,000 meals a day and then to deliver them. How many folks are we talking about?
We've got close to about, 700 employees, and that has oversight for both our on-site operations and our pre-plate service.
Well, that's excellent. Well, we're going to need to move to a break right now, but we're going to continue our conversation. If you have any questions about how food service is provided to your children through our Catholic schools, give us a call. We'll continue the conversation right after this short break. Thank you.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
The Archdiocese of Chicago is promoting the cause for the eventual canonization of Father Augustus Tolton. We'll tell you why. Cardinal George delivers an historic speech at Brigham Young University. Catholics converge on Springfield to make their voices heard, and a Catholic priest who plays a mean guitar organizes a memorable jazz fest to help feed the hungry.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You. Compelling television about your Archdiocese.
The Catholic Church is urging people in neighborhoods across the United States to participate in the 2010 census. Hello, I'm Bishop Joseph Perry, and I'd like to encourage everyone listening to be counted as part of the census. Your participation is vital. The census helps determine political representation and the level of funding for schools, hospitals, parks, and other services where you live. Hundreds of billions of dollars are at stake. Fill out the census forms when you get them in the mail. Do not be afraid of being counted. By law, names and addresses remain confidential, and only numbers are published. You have nothing to lose, but much to gain when you fill out the census forms. Please participate, and may God bless you.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith, and thank you for staying with us. We're delighted that you're spending this hour of your Monday morning. We are broadcasting throughout Chicagoland, city and suburbs, and we are the voice of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, speaking with some fine folks from a little-known service of the Archdiocese of Chicago called Food Service Professionals. You know, yesterday I was reading my emails, and I had one from my brother that featured a video of my hometown in Italy called Lucca. Mm-hmm. And immediately after closing out that video, I open the email from our producer, and the first name I see on there, your first guest will be Paula De Lucca. Hey, we're paisans.
How about that?
Or at least your husband and I are.
Yes.
So we're all nice Italians here, whether we want to be or not. Actually, we're talking with Paula, with Maria Bernas, and with Leslie Williams, all of Food Service Professionals. Let's talk a little bit about the menu philosophy that guides the work that you do through FSP.
Well, I think that, as was mentioned earlier, FSP over the years has worked pretty diligently to evolve with our menus. Our menus are science-based, which Maria can go into a little bit, but we do try to adhere to certain principles. We try to add more fruits and vegetables into our menus, as an example. We also use milk that's growth hormone-free and antibiotic-free, and I know that's of concern to a lot of parents. We use leaner meats. We add in more whole grains, and we are trying to go for a more natural flavor profile than using a lot of processed foods. So those are some of the ways that we try to give the best that we possibly can to the students.
You know, that's really reassuring to hear. You know, as a dad, I know how important my wife and I always took the kind of food that our children ate. Well, when you turn that responsibility over to somebody else for one or two of the meals that your kids will have during the day, it's obviously reassuring to know that they take that responsibility very, very seriously.
Well, we do take the responsibility very seriously. Something that we've been adding in more and more lately have been locally grown fruits and vegetables.
Locally where?
Well, people ask what's locally grown, and I know there's no set definition for what locally grown means, but in our case, it means that the fruits and vegetables are grown in states contiguous to Illinois.
All right.
We serve a lot of Michigan apples, as an example, and even though on the surface it doesn't look like that's a contiguous state, as I understand it, we are joined under Lake Michigan.
Oh, so. Okay.
And in addition to that, we've been serving diced carrots, peas, corn from Wisconsin, to give you an example.
How about the sweets? I understand you have your own bakery.
Absolutely. We've got our own bakers, and they bake all of our items from scratch, and all of our products that we serve out of our bakery contain at least 50% whole grain. So we've converted all of our recipes to include whole grain. Also, what a lot of people don't realize about our operation is we do a lot of our own scratch cooking. So we've got our own staff that creates things like chili and taco meat, just a whole variety of things. We make our own trail mix. We make our own granola bars. There's just a pretty vast array of things that come out of our facilities. And from a safety standpoint, our facilities are USDA inspected, which means we've got someone on site continuously every day that oversees our operation to make sure we're touching on all of the things that are critical to assure the food that leaves our facility is delivered safely to the schools we serve.
Excellent. Now, Maria, I understand that you have USDA-approved computer software analyzing your menus. What's that all about?
Yes, we do. Actually, each month when we develop the menus, we have input all of our ingredients and all of our recipes into a computer database that will then, once you put them into a menu for the day, will analyze what the daily caloric requirements and that kind of thing is. And the federal guidelines require us to average over the week. So every day we put in all of our menu items, and then we get a printout that shows us exactly how much fat we have, how many calories we have, how much percent vitamin A, vitamin C, protein, everything you could possibly think of. So it's very
Wow, that sounds
detailed.
Pretty foolproof, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, how do you know that the kids are going to enjoy these meals, that they're not going to sit there and go, oh, no, not that again, and, you know, leave the food on the tray, let it get cold, and toss in the garbage?
We have staff that goes out to our schools on a regular basis, and they observe the students and work with the students to try to get feedback on those items. We also do taste panels periodically where we take products into schools. We have the students try them, and then they rate them for acceptance. It is interesting, however, one of the more key elements of nutrition diversity today involves a perspective regarding whether students should be necessarily tested for the perception or likability of products as opposed to exposed to items so that they can acquire a taste for some things that might be better for them in the long run.
I think what you just said was people question whether they ought to go by their preference or whether they ought to be sort of pushed a little bit, stretched a little bit by being exposed to things that they might not otherwise have chosen.
Yes, and I think our philosophy, you know, has been that we try to do a little of both, and that way we've got some great things that we bring to the kids that they're enjoying. It incorporates a good, healthy profile, but at the same time we expose them to new things that hopefully they'll acquire a taste for as they move
along. Yeah, that sounds like a good balance. You know, you can't complain about that.
it works for us.
Yeah. All right, we need to go to another short break, and we're going to continue the conversation about schools and food as soon as we come back. Please don't go away.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Come experience what makes the Catholic Church unique, relevant, and compelling for young people today. Hundreds of Catholic teens will gather April 16th through the 18th at Guerin College Prep High School for the Bread of Life Youth Retreat. All teenagers are invited. Experience dynamic music, inspirational talks, personal testimonies, and celebrate Mass with Cardinal George. Here's what past recipients say about the Bread of Life Retreat.
I really like the retreat. They tried to help you out with God's message and guide you in life.
After this retreat, I became more open to God, my parents, and my elders.
The Bread of Life Retreat gives young people permission to be alone with Jesus in the Eucharist and become better friends with our Lord.
To learn more about this unforgettable retreat and to register, call 312-534-8044 or go to breadoflifechicago.org. That's 312-534-8044. Or breadoflifechicago.org.
Welcome back. Hope you're having a good commute on this Monday morning, or that you're well ensconced at your desk at work and listening to us as you do what you do. We are having a conversation today about food service professionals, which is probably a well-kept secret within the Archdiocese. So I'd like to ask Paula DeLuca, who is the COO, the Chief Operating Officer of Food Service Professionals. How did the Archdiocese get into this business? Why was this initiated in the first place?
Well, very long time ago, Ron Hunter, who was our director at the time, had talked with Cardinal Cody about developing a program, and primarily the National School Lunch Program was developed on the heels of concerns for the nation's incidence of malnutrition. And so it started out with that in mind, but a revelation occurred. We all eat food. We all need good nutrition. And so it became quite an expansive program with recognition for the fact that we all need to eat well. And that's
so initially it was in response to maybe kids who may not have been bringing adequate food, maybe poverty-level kids, but then it expanded into, hey, everybody's got to do this. Let's help out parents. They don't have to pack a sack lunch every day.
That's right, and everybody needs good nutrition, yeah. So why not?
I remember lots of evenings sitting with my son, going through the menu and picking out, okay, what do you want for the month? So is my memory serving me correctly? The kids can choose from different options for each day?
Yes, they can. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. And then so you're 100,000 choices each day, and you get the right food to the right child.
Absolutely.
That's fantastic. Now, Leslie, I understand there's a summer program. Even though schools are not in session during the time, food service professionals is still working. What happens during the summer?
Well, you're right. We are still working very diligently during the summer. What we are doing is we are acting as a sponsor for the summer food service program, which is a federally funded program. You know, people don't stop eating in the summer, so we want to have meals available. But what we're looking for is groups, community-based groups, schools, libraries, other types of nonprofit groups who serve children up to the age of 18 to act as feeding sites for the summer. FSP will give you everything that you need to know to get your program up and running as far as the food is concerned. But what we're looking for is sites that have an already existing summer activity, or groups that think they would like to have a summer activity, but food would be an extra plus to attract students to their sites.
So summer camps, summer Bible studies.
Yes, definitely.
Summer school.
Any nonprofit that serves children up to the age of 18 is welcome to join us.
You got that out there? Anybody know of a summer program that could use food as part of the services they offer? Contact Food Service Professionals. If somebody wanted to contact you,
How would they do it?
Well, first of all, let me just say they get good, delicious, and free food.
Free.
So maybe that will
spur them. Oh, we didn't mention that.
That's a very important word. But if
free
someone,
food.
Definitely free food. And we have a stipend to help offset some of their summer costs.
All right, this is one of those things that's too good to be true, but
well,
it is.
It's true. And the thing is, we have been working with the program as a food vendor for about 35 years.
Yeah.
This year, though, we're extending our reach and doing more of the administration of the program. So if anybody would like to join us, please get your pencils ready. I'd like to give you a number you can call, which is 773-GREAT-FOOD. That's 773-478-3663.
Give that number one more time.
All right. I'll give you both of the numbers. If you can remember this, it's 773-GREAT-FOOD. And if you need numbers, it's 773-478-3663.
Now, who makes it possible for this free food to be available to these not-for-profits?
Actually, it is a federally funded program administered through the state of Illinois.
Okay.
And we're the people who are going to make sure that your feeding site gets the food and service that you need to make your summer program successful.
Now, Maria, in addition to food, there's also a very concerted effort to educate children and parents about nutrition. Tell us about that.
Sure. Yeah, we send out newsletters and monthly mailings to the schools and to parents about different topics, whether that's physical activity and how to increase physical activity in school and at home, or whether that's how to read a nutrition label that a lot of people are very confused about. So we try to send out little topics that are we think are of importance that can really help parents and educators and the food servers really kind of give a well-rounded education to the kids.
Now, what about this hotline that you folks maintain?
Yeah, we have a hotline for parents or food servers or anybody who may have a problem or an issue or concern with a menu or a specific part of the menu that can call us and leave a message, and then either myself or somebody else will follow up with a phone call or an email with them and try to address that and fix whatever issue they're having.
Yeah. So how long have you been with food service professionals, Paula?
Since 1982.
Whoa, you're a lifer.
I am a lifer, and I have enjoyed every moment I've been given an opportunity to be with the organization. Actually, I was a
Did you start in the mailroom and then work your way up to COO?
Well, you know, I was a teacher before coming to the diocese, and so I took quite a jump. This was out of the norm for me, but I've grown quite well with the organization. Very much enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, I hope that this has been educational for our listeners to learn that the Archdiocese takes such a concern about the children in its schools, and not just the children, but even adults who are living in extended care facilities. They take such care as to be willing to provide, you know, to take all the time and effort and hire the staff to be able to provide them healthy meals on a daily basis. It's very impressive, and I commend all of you on the great job that you're doing. My kids grew up on that food, and they're fit and healthy, and I'm sure you had a big part to play in that.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
So we want to thank our guests, Paula DeLuca, Maria Bernas, and Leslie Williams. We've been talking about food service professionals. When we come back, we're going to talk about food pantries. So we're on a theme here today. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Marches have a heart. Help your neighbor month at Catholic Charities. On March 5th, from 6 a.m. to 12 p.m., Catholic Charities employees and volunteers will kick off this momentous month of giving by collecting non-perishable food items at NBC Plaza. There's never been a time when your generosity was needed more. This March, consider donating to Catholic Charities. Visit www.catholiccharities.net/neighbor or call 312-655-7525.
Jesus, within the walls of his sepulcher, he arises victorious over human flesh, over mortality, and yes, over sin.
That's Father Claudio Diaz with one of several Lenten reflections you can find in both English and Spanish on the Archdiocese of Chicago's YouTube channels. Go to our website at www.archchicago.org and click on Lenten Resources for reflections that will be posted through Easter. That's www.archchicago.org and look for Lenten Resources.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome to the second half of this hour. It's coming up on 9:32 in the morning on this Monday morning in windy Chicagoland. We are the voice of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago, and we're grateful that you've chosen to spend this part of your day with us. We hope we make it worth your while. We try to bring you information about different efforts within the Archdiocese, the good people who make things happen, and the generous works that are done through the agencies of the Archdiocese, one of which is Catholic Charities. Catholic Charities is responsible for more good in this diocese, in this state, I should say, than any other social service agency that there is. So we have a right to be very, very proud. As we approach Easter, and we are grateful for all that God has done for us, particularly by Jesus laying down his life for us, we need also to take the responsibility of doing for others what God has done for us, of also laying down our own lives. And one of the ways that we can do that is by making sure that those who don't have enough to eat get the sustenance that they require to maintain their lives. And in that regard, there are many good and generous folks who try to make that happen on a daily basis. We were just talking to the food service professionals who care for our school children on a daily basis. And now we're going to talk to Kathy Donahue, who is the Director of Program Development for Catholic Charities, and Sister Jo Ellen Tumas, who is the director of Casa Catalina, a food pantry at 4537 South Ashland Avenue in Chicago. So we want to talk about food pantries and how they operate and why they operate and who helps them to operate, because these are places that make it possible for people who otherwise would not have their daily sustenance, their daily bread, if you will, to find that nutrition that they need. So welcome to the program, Kathy Donahue.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
And welcome, Sister Jo Ellen.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Sister Jo Ellen, what community are you with?
I'm with the Poor Handmaids of Jesus Christ.
The Poor Handmaids of Jesus Christ. God bless you. And what a great name, or great community, I should say, for someone who's helping the poor on a daily basis. Let's talk about food pantries. How many food pantries is Catholic Charities involved with in the Chicagoland area?
Well, Catholic Charities has 10 major food pantries throughout Cook and Lake County, many in the suburbs. We have four in the city of Chicago, one of which is Casa Catalina, and then around the horseshoe, around the city, in the suburbs like Cicero, South Holland, Worth, and then up in Waukegan and Lake County.
Yeah, so I was actually going to ask that. I think a lot of people might suspect, oh, food pantries are down in the inner city, and maybe be surprised to hear that we have them in suburbs and that there's actually a need in the suburbs. Talk about that a little bit.
Actually, the number of people that come for help in the suburbs equals the number of people that come to Catholic Charities for help in the city of Chicago. So their poverty is everywhere.
And Sister Joellen, tell us a little bit about the kinds of people who are availing themselves of the services that you offer through Casa Catalina.
Casa Catalina is basically in an immigrant neighborhood. About 87% of those coming for food here are Mexican-American, and about 10% Afro-American, and then the rest are white or very minority of Asians. And people coming for food are not always unemployed, but what we call underemployed. Maybe years ago they did day labor or garden work or construction and had 5 days of work a week. Now they're down to sometimes only 1 or 2 days a week. And others who had a good job and were working 4 days a week are down to 4 days. 5 days a week are down to 4 days a week. So it is a cross-section of people coming for food.
What about the suburban population?
Well, oftentimes in the suburban population, it is also immigrants, but it's also working families. We see more and more working families where you would have two breadwinners, and now you only have one, and really the economics of that doesn't work anymore. So what we coach people to do, oftentimes they'll come in because they can't pay their rent. And so what we will say is use your disposable income to keep yourself housed and come here for food. We can help you with food.
Yeah.
We can't always pay everyone's rent. But we partner with the Greater Chicago Food Depository, and actually they're a wonderful partner, and we have enough food to put on our shelves most of the time. Oftentimes it gets depleted, but...
So is that the primary source of the food, is the Chicago Food Depository?
They're the major source of food for our food pantries. And then we also use some funding from FEMA, which is Federal Emergency Management Agency, and we're able to purchase food that would supplement what we might get from a food bank.
And where does the food depository get their food?
From the USDA. United States Department of Agriculture.
Okay, so this is not donated food. It's not grocery stores that are setting aside a certain percentage of their, supply to donate. It's being purchased with government funds?
Well, I'd say it's all of the above.
All of the above.
Most of it comes from through USDA, but there are certainly for the Greater Chicago Food Depository restaurants that work with them or grocery stores that work with them. And in our food pantries, the same thing happens. I mean, we could not survive if we didn't have food drives that children do in grammar school, restaurants that donate canned goods to us if they have an oversupply.
What would you say is the percentage of the food you receive that comes as a result of the food drives at schools, at churches, you know, through the different Catholic
I would say
efforts?
In the suburbs, that's probably 40%.
Wow.
So in the suburbs, it's so critical that we have partnerships.
So this is not... when someone looks into their own cupboard or makes a special trip to the grocery store to buy some things to donate, this is not an optional thing. It's part of your survival.
It's part of the survival for many families.
All right. Well, on that note, we're just going to move to a short break. When we return, we'll continue this conversation. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you haven't haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake counties.
In our next few issues of the Catholic New World, as well as on our website, gather tips to enhance your Lenten journey.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298. Or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
And we're back. It's 9:41, almost 9:42 on this Monday morning. This is the Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio AM 950. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, Director of Lay Ministry Formation. Father Greg Sakowitz, your regular anchor, is not with us this morning because he's celebrating a funeral. So we keep him and the bereaved family in our prayers. We've been talking about food this morning. And right now, we're especially focusing on food pantries, the efforts sponsored by Catholic Charities in particular that make food available to needy individuals and needy families throughout the Chicagoland city and suburbs. Before we went to the break, we were talking with Kathy Donahue, who's the Director of Program Development, and with Sister Joellen Tumas, the Director of Casa Catalina, about the importance that individual donations from drives at Catholic schools, from drives in parishes, the Thanksgiving food drives, you know, the Lenten food drives that happen. And Kathy, you told us that about 40% of the total food you give away comes from those individual efforts.
Yes, you know, you can have a donation of canned goods, but that does not make a dinner, right?
Yeah.
So we often will do food drives, ask for peanut butter and jelly, so that a mom can make a lunch for her child. We might ask for canned hams because with that you can make a total dinner. So oftentimes we'll make up lists of foods that we don't get through the Greater Chicago Food Depository. So our goal is to make 4 days of breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So when we give a family a bag of food, it really solves the problem for the next 4 days.
Sister Joellen, I understand there's a restaurant that's been especially kind to you and the folks you serve.
Right, that's Polonia Banquets, which is located at 46th and Archer.
What do they do for you?
At Christmas, they do help us with our Christmas project, which provides gifts for 1,400 children. And every week when they've done banquets or their catering service, people order large amounts of food and don't pick it up, or they have a banquet and there are a lot of no-shows. All of that food is brought in like a food rescue, and we are able to repackage it and, again, put it with our non-perishable foods and provide whole meals for families.
Well, that's doubly good news. Food isn't being wasted, and two, it's being put to very, very good use.
Great. And then whenever we have a fundraiser or anything, Marge McKay, who's the owner of Polonia, is very generous in supporting those efforts.
Well, God bless them.
And another thing we ask people for in donations are high fiber foods that are low in sugar and low in carbs, because we have a number of people who come for food who are either diabetic or have high blood pressure. And we can't always get the foods from the depository that will be nutritious for them and help them to control their diseases.
Well, thank you for mentioning that. We were discussing the importance of nutrition with the food service professionals earlier, but it probably doesn't dawn on most of us that when we make contributions, we're contributing to somebody's overall diet. And if we're all contributing sugar and starches, that doesn't make for health.
Right.
What about, you were talking about food rescue from a very different source, Kathy.
Yeah, we've got a call earlier last year from McCormick Place, and they had a number of conventions coming up where they knew there was going to be under-enrollment, and they were by contract, had to prepare large amounts of food, and they were anticipating having a lot of leftovers, so they asked us if we were interested. So the first one we did was First Look for Charity, and we were able to get pans of very high-end food that was prepared, lamb chops, salmon, and we were able to take that to our evening suppers where the homeless come together, and they were about ready to faint. Usually we serve pasta and salad and pretty high starchy foods, sometimes chicken. But when they saw lamb chops and salmon, it was like an unbelievable feast. The second convention that we did was for physicians, and the menu there was quite upscale as well. So, I mean, raviolis stuffed with butternut squash and mushrooms and, so for the shelter population and for the supper and even for the food pantries, when we're able to distribute that kind of food, it's uplifting for everybody and very special. So.
Well, we all have our special meals and special occasions. It's good to know that even the poor are sometimes blessed with that
right.
kind of opportunity.
Right, yeah. Right. It's very special.
Now, Sister, how did you get involved with this food pantry? Was it always there, or was it something that was created during your tenure at the parish?
Back in 1990, I was working at St. Augustine's, one of the parishes that was being closed, and we had a food pantry there that served the community. And one of the things we asked of the parishes who would remain open was that one of them would become the parish hosting the community food pantry. At that time, Holy Cross Immaculate Heart of Mary served only parishioners in their pantry. So when I came on board in 1990, it became a community pantry. And it's grown from 35 families a week to now about 400. And in 2005, we were growing, and we're growing out of the space we were in, and most of that space was needed for an after-school program. So the pastor worked with Catholic Charities. We began partnering with them and came to our facility now on Ashland Avenue.
Those are kind of shocking numbers. That rate of growth is really unbelievable.
And even since 2004, we have doubled the amount of people that we're serving.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty much the story for all of Catholic Charities food pantries. This year, we're serving 46% more people. So it's kind of frightening to think that we'll be able to keep up with this demand. I mean, it's the generosity of the Catholic community that keeps us going,
yeah.
Actually. It's pretty amazing to me that that when we ask for donations, people understand. They understand food, right? So usually we're very fortunate that they'll rise to the occasion when our shelves are bare. But the volume is unbelievable.
Yeah. Now, maybe, Kathy, you don't get this opportunity, but Sister Joellen, are you able to establish ongoing relationships with some of the people who come to the food pantry? Do you see people over long periods of time, or is it more sporadic and, temporary kinds of needs that come and go?
No, some families we get in contact with, and then we keep growing with them. Some of those coming in now with children graduating from high school, we've been serving since they were little.
Wow.
One of the beautiful things about that is as some of these youngsters get into high school, they, for their service hours, will come here and say, I want to give back to the pantry because the pantry has helped my family so much.
Oh, that's great news. We need to take another short break, and then we'll come back and continue our conversation. If you have any questions, please give us a call. 312-255-8408 is our number. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Catholic Church is urging people in neighborhoods across the United States to participate in the 2010 census. Hello, I'm Cardinal Francis George, Archbishop of Chicago, and I'd like to encourage everyone listening to be counted as part of the census. Your participation is vital. The census helps determine political representation and the level of funding for schools, hospitals, parks, and other services where you live. Hundreds of billions of dollars are at stake. Please fill out the census forms when you get them in the mail. Do not be afraid of being counted. By law, names and addresses remain confidential and only numbers are published. You have nothing to lose, but much to gain when you and others fill out the census forms. Please participate, and may God bless you.
It's 9:51 in the morning. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, and we're talking about Catholic Charities, and we're talking about food pantries, and we're talking with Kathy Donahue, Director of Program Development for Catholic Charities, with Sister Joellen Tumas, Director of Casa Catalina, a food pantry located at Holy Cross Immaculate Heart of Mary Parish on South Ashland Avenue. Let's talk a little bit about how these efforts don't only take care of a person's daily needs, but try to make a difference in their life, in their lifestyle. When someone comes to a food pantry, are they just handed a bag of food, or is there more to it?
Well, there's more to it. You know, we can give a person a bag of food, but you really have to help them figure out how they're going to make ends meet in general, not just in terms of food. So there are a number of initiatives that go on in all the food pantries, and one of them is benefit screening. So if you can help enroll a person in the food stamp program, then they'll have extra cash, so to speak, each month to buy food. And I know at Sister Joellen's food pantry, there's a very big push to enroll immigrant families. Many times they don't understand that they might be eligible. If their children were born in this country, their children are eligible for the food stamp program. So you can be increasing a family's buying power by up to $200 a month to purchase food. So that's part of what we do when people come into food pantries. And then we have another program where we're doing an exchange student program with Ibero-Americana University in Mexico City and in Puebla. That's Loyola University. It's run by the Jesuits. And we have social work students that are here in Chicago who are interested in understanding migration and poverty between both countries. So the social workers from Chicago go to Puebla and Mexico City, and then we accept students that are in the bachelor program from those two cities. And they offer nutrition education classes in food pantries. So, for instance, in Sister Joellen's food pantry, they do classes on diabetes. They help people figure out how to put together a healthy meal with the food that we have in the food pantry, which might be different than the food that they're used to eating in their home country. But that's why Sister Joellen's talking about high grain donations. I mean, it'd be wonderful if we got donations of whole grain, brown rice and beans, that's what the community is used to eating, and makes for better meal preparation.
So this is much more sophisticated than we might have suspected. Who are the volunteers who help staff these food pantries? Where do you find the expertise to provide some of this more sophisticated service?
Well, Sister Joellen, you could probably answer this better than I can, but I know you were on this radio show, and you got a number of volunteers because of it, didn't you?
Right, especially Marion. She heard me speaking with Father Boland and felt it was the call of the Spirit. So for the last 4 years, she comes every Wednesday and is here from 1 to 6 p.m. Some of our volunteers...
Wait, that's someone that began working with you as a result of you being on
the Catholic
diocesan show.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's... Praise God for that.
Yes, wow. And praise God for Marion. And some of our volunteers came through coming with food from their parishes on Thanksgiving Day. Ron... 1 year said to me when he came with the food, you know, I'm retiring in January. Do you think I can do anything? Well, he's been with us ever since, every Wednesday from 8:30 to 6, and he also is a big part of our senior mothers and children commodities program.
Fantastic. So, if-
and neighborhood volunteers, people who live in the neighborhood either want to give back. Or in 96, our pastor challenged the Guadalupana Society to do more than pray the rosary. And we've got three wonderful volunteers as a result of that who are still coming today. And we get students in high school. All our 35 volunteers are between the ages of 13 and 85. And they're all totally dedicated to the ministry of helping the poor.
Mm-hmm. So if there's some generous soul out there listening who would love to be one of your volunteers, how would they get a hold of you, Sister?
They would call me at 773-376-9425.
That's 773-376-9425.
Or just stop in and visit us at 4537 South Ashland Avenue.
Now, Kathy, if someone is not in the South Ashland Avenue area but would still like to volunteer, how do they get hold of Catholic Charities and find out about other opportunities?
Well, they can call me at my number. It's 655, area code 312, 655-7305.
Do that once more.
Area code 312-655-7305. We have food pantries in Chicagoland area, also in the suburbs, and we're always looking for people to help us pack bags.
What keeps the people coming back? You know, from what Sister Joellen said, these folks have been doing this for a long time. Why do they keep returning?
Well, if you ever visited Casa Catalina, you'd want to stay. Sister Joellen is such a warm and friendly person, and the atmosphere is fun. Everybody's having a great time. Everyone's smiling. Everyone's grateful. You know what I mean? It's a situation where you're in a position as a volunteer to give. Use your generosity and know that what you're doing makes such a difference in people's lives. And most of the people who are standing in line are treated with dignity. They become part of the family. It's like welcoming somebody into your kitchen. Same kind of feeling.
And they're living the gospel.
That's right.
Yeah. As is Sister Joellen, as is Kathy, and all the good folks at Catholic Charities, we need to bring our program to an end. So I want to thank very specially Sister Joellen Tumas, who directs Casa Catalina Food Pantry at Holy Cross Immaculate Heart of Mary, and my other guest, Kathy Donahue, the Director of Program Development for Catholic Charities. God bless you, and may people be especially generous during this Holy Triduum and Easter season. I want to thank also our technician, Michael May, and our new grandpa, producer Jim Dish. Many blessings on his new granddaughter, Alyssa Marie. This is probably the last time I'll be talking to you before the sacred holidays. So I wish everyone a wonderful celebration of the Triduum and a very, very holy and happy Easter. God bless you all.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.